Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Week 12 for snap reactions in the NFC. We're talking wide receivers and tight ends. Right off the bat, Arizona coming off a bye. We're watching Hopkins. We're watching Murray returning from injury. Hopkins, been an extended injury. Murray, you know, hoping all is right for a stretch run here. Both guys, I think, definitely need them for our stretch runs in our leagues here. So hoping that they're healthy and ready to go. Christian Kirk has double-digit target share each week, which I think is incredible when you think about it. Rondale Moore, double-digit targets in all but weeks 3 and week 4. So really involved. Zach Ertz, 19, 21, and 20% over the past 3 weeks. How those three facts intertwine with Hopkins will be a fascinating watch here down the stretch. There's a couple of spots where I have Ertz that he's becoming hard to bench. And so that is, you know, and I have like Kittle in a spot where it's like tough to put him on the bench. It's tough to put Ertz on the bench behind Kittle. So it's been really productive here. This has been a good move for him to Arizona, unlocking some volume and some target share for him. Kyle Pitts has been greater than 20% target share since week 5, with the exception of week 11, where he was at 16%. So really robust work here. Over the past 5 games for Russell Gage, 27, 11, 25, and 24%. Excuse me, over the last 4 games for him. That is since, that is so basically 3 out of those 4 games has been a quarter of their targets or more. So there's a lot of consolidation between Gage and Pitts in the post-Ridley world, or, you know, in the Ridley on NFI world, I guess you could say. Since week 9, 108 routes for Gage, 107 routes for Pitts. They're both at 1.6 in terms of yards per route run, 1.62 for Gage, 1.65 for Pitts, 26 targets for Gage, 24 for Pitts. Tajae Sharpe, you know, significantly lower in terms of the production. This is really a Gage offense here. I think you have a better shot at getting some higher end production from someone other than Tajae Sharpe at this point. I found this exercise particularly illuminating for DJ Moore. He's at 27.2% target share. He has been above 20% target share in all but week 5. His weekly finishes. So again, that's really high level, right? So you look, he's fifth at the position in target share, right? Really high level in terms of what he can control, drawing a huge amount of targets relative to the offense. His weekly finishes, again, really high consistency in terms of targets, right? Really high consistency. His weekly finish, 31, 11, 12, 3. 49, 28, 21, 40, 47, 51, 22, and 23. He hasn't had a wide receiver 1 week since week 4. He's 10th in expected points per game at 16.6, 21st in points per game at 14.9. So you get the idea there. Despite really being consistent, that whole idea of consistency is just total blabber, because he's been consistently elite in terms of his target share this year and just hasn't really seen the production from it. How are you supposed to measure that? How are you supposed to gauge that other than really high involvement at a really high consistency, right? The idea of consistency for the wide receiver position has always been a myth because the way we measure it is flawed. So DJ Moore probably coming to you in an edition of the Analytics of Dynasty soon, talking about consistency. Darnell Mooney in Chicago has gone to another level. 33%, 21% by 47% and 21%. Those are his target shares over the past 5 weeks, right? So he had the bye, and then he's been basically north of 20% and cracking as high as 47% during that time span. I did some look, and it's really, you know, Marquise Goodwin was a nice spot start. I think you're looking for a total, like, it's a, you know, to use a phrase, a what the heck flex. You're looking for kind of a high variance outcome with him, putting him in the wide receiver streaming category. I don't have a ton of confidence there on him. Looks like Amari Cooper is probably going to miss this week. His COVID recovery is still, he's still under the weather a bit. So hopeful he gets back healthy. You know, I don't think it's anything like life-threatening or anything like that. He just doesn't feel good, which I guess we can understand. Last 3 weeks, Gallup is fifth in the league in routes, 1.66 yards per route run. So that's actually an improvement over last year. Cedric Wilson, 13% before the bye. Then he had the bye, 16%, and then 21% market share. So you're seeing right in that mid-teens is probably your expectation. Hopefully we'll get a CeeDee Lamb return. Again, remember, they play on Thursday. This was after their Thursday game last week. So while it is a, quote, short week in terms of the NFL, it's actually a full week for them. So just keep that in mind, scheduling and that sort of thing. Like, don't get freaked out by the schedule or anything like that. Josh Reynolds, last 2 weeks for Detroit, 13 and 20% target share. Again, new addition to Detroit. Would wonder what Tennessee would think of him right now. It'd be an interesting situation in addition to that Tennessee offense. Double-digit targets all around for Amon-Ra St. Brown, and just hasn't made that much of a difference. So, again, just remember when you have a player that people are pumping up in terms of, hey, look, instant, immediate opportunity. Be careful what you wish for, especially from a lower-end prospect like that. Marquez Valdes-Scantling for Green Bay, 30 and 20% target share in the past 2 weeks. Alan Lazard still there in the offense. You know, I think missed one of those games. But we'll see there in terms of maybe this is basically the two highest games of Marquez Valdes-Scantling's season right next to each other. So I don't think it's a trend. It's probably just a fluke, but again, that's a name where he might be out there on your waiver wire. He's probably worth an addition if he's out there. I doubt that he is, but it's possible that he is in some shallower leagues. And if you need wide receiver, he's certainly one to think about. Devontae Adams has been north of 20% target share each week. Just incredible. Speaking of north of 25% market share, or north of 20% market share each week, I have I'll raise you that, it says Cooper Kupp, 25% target share each week. Just incredible. 39 routes this past week, 40 for Odell Beckham Jr., 41 for Van Jefferson. So total three-headed committee here. Odell Beckham Jr., after a slow start, it was a short week involvement on, I think that was Monday Night Football a couple weeks ago. They get a bye week, fully integrated here into the offense, 26% target share. That's totally available there for him. 23% this past week for Van Jefferson as well. So all three guys, I think, are relatively playable. I think Beckham and Van Jefferson more in the wide receiver three role for Beckham and maybe four or so for Van Jefferson. I just trust Beckham a little bit more. But 26% target share, if he's going to get that, right, that puts him in the range. One thing I think Higbee just has pretty much disappointed this year. I thought he had the ability to sort of carve out a role. Just hasn't done a particularly good job of doing that. With Minnesota, we kind of know the deal. Like, Jefferson and Thielen are awesome. Conklin's a tight end two range. One thing I think is important to keep in mind, KJ Osborne only one double-digit target share game since week 8. So what was a relatively good start to the season and a productive beginning, not so much here over this this last stretch. The New Orleans Saints in the last 4 weeks, 143 routes run for Tre'Quan Smith, 1.34 yards per route run, 122 for Marquez Callaway, 0.92 yards per route run. That's been a failure. Deontay Harris, I think I got his name right this time, 76 routes, 2.05 yards per route run. So he continues to be highly efficient. I think I've talked about him in other ones. I know I have because I mispronounce his name every time I do it. So we're working on that. It's been the goal of the season is to get better at that. And he has been efficient and effective, just low volume. So I'll be interested to see if maybe they take a bigger role with him. I think this is going to be a changing offense with Taysom Hill coming in and hopefully not Amari, Alvin Kamara coming back, and seeing maybe some additional work here in terms of getting some offensive variety going. And as we enter the stretch run here, hopefully Kamara healthy and ready to go here for a championship push. Okay, so the Giants here, I think that over the recent stretch here, with the last 4 weeks, it's been Evan Ingram, 95 routes, which leads the team. But again, when you look at his production, it's been a little bit lackluster. It's converted into 12 targets, 8 receptions, 87 yards, and a touchdown. When you sort of take that and look at the yards per route run, 0.92. Again, just a disappointment. I will say they fired their offensive coordinator. We're sort of watching how that transpires and sort of what that looks like here. And he'll enter, hopefully, free agency and maybe find himself onto a better into a better landscape. 7 targets for Kenny G in week 12. They're dealing with a ton of injuries, people in and out of lineup. It's pretty wild. But 3 catches, 50 yards, 1.72 yards per route run. Past 2 games, total of 5 targets, 3 receptions, 40 yards, and 0.77 yards per route run. So big jump. We'll see if that's aberration or some sort of developmental track that he's improving on. I'm skeptical, but I'm willing to be willing to change my mind if he can turn the page. Okay, Philly, Jalen Reagor with a couple brutal drops this past week. He's tough in terms of where he's been at. 0.38 yards per route run in the past 4 weeks. Just one of the worst receivers in the league right now. Just a mess. I mean, these things happen. He's just a mess. And honestly, it's in a mess in ways that I don't know if we could have foreseen it. I'm sure, will there be hand-wringing on that? Yeah, I mean, for sure. It's disappointing that we missed on that, right? Would I rather have had Justin Jefferson? Yeah. Would I have rather been right instead of wrong on Reagor? Yeah, for sure. Or have known in advance? Absolutely. But we looked at a profile, saw a profile. And I don't think the reasons that we had concerns about him, size and all that, I don't think that those were... and again, we'll maybe do a full autopsy of this at some point, but I don't think that that's been the reason. I think it's been other stuff that's been the reason. I think it's some mental stuff, some of these drops and stuff like that. It just hasn't happened for him. So it's obviously disappointing. I hope it's a year 3 breakout. I did pivot off of a couple shares of him and got upgrades and stuff. So he's a good example of, and this is be a lesson that I've learned. Again, we make mistakes. I'm never going to get things 100% right. But I think as in terms of odds bets, the lesson that I'll always take for Reagor is never be the first. Always be, always let someone else be the person that is going to take the pick between profiles. Freely give it away. And we have looked at this. We've seen this, right? It was, you'll get, give them the right to do it. And let them pay for the right to do it, right? Freely give away that choice if you get something in return, because you're largely taking the same bet. When you look at guys, especially in a profile like Reagor, like Justin Jefferson, heck, even like Judy and Lamb, if you want to sort of toss those guys in that range as well, the first round wide receivers, we could nitpick a little bit in terms of hit rates and stuff, in terms of breakout age and yada yada. But ultimately, when you sort of group them all together, right, it was, you could go from, and I did this in multiple spots, go from pick early to later, and then, grab a second, take Justin Jefferson, boom, got additional assets, right, and let someone else make that bet. That will consistently be the lesson that I learned from that, and just don't be the, and Reagor for me will be, I was pretty confident on him, but... the more we do this in terms of these wide receiver profiles, the less I'll ever be confident on anyone. I'll just say, let's just blindly pick it. This year, Kadarius Toney, everyone had as a bust in August, and he's been one of the better ones, right? Waddle Waddle had never broken out, and all these concerns about Waddle. And again, if you went from you know, up at the position, some of these higher priced guys, and pivoted down, like you could have taken multiple shots, you know. And that's just the thing with him. Like you could have taken, at the cost of taking Bateman, you could have taken, you know, Devonta Smith and Waddle potentially in spots, you know. And you could, when you look at those, I think it's an interesting, you know, it's an interesting situation. The other thing too is you could say like, hey, instead of Sermon, right? Like how does Sermon fit in this? And you know, I'm of two minds of this. You know, I know we're talking about wide receivers, but as we're sort of mentioning this conversation, it's in, you know, Rager comes up, and I think it's interesting. I'm of two minds of this because, you know, you could have pivoted. You know, we talked about like, we've talked in the group chat about like, well, what would we have done instead of taking Sermon where we did? The one aspect would have been trade down. And like, listen, you could have gotten two future seconds, you know, after Mac Jones, and you could have gotten two seconds in that class probably, and taken, you know, and taken, you know, whether that was Waddle or Devonta Smith, you definitely could have taken Kadarius Toney, right? Like you could have taken those guys, and they would have been largely similar odds bets, and then you're taking two of them instead of one. Like, that's absolutely a bet you could make. And so it fits into the same arbitrage landscape that does for Rager. I think we have to constantly be searching that stuff and really restrain ourselves from making these high profile, you know, high level bets. And honestly, I'm thankful for Rager because that level of research sort of forced me into looking at the quarterback stuff and like largely appreciating the randomness of the quarterbacks. And it's forced me into researching the wide receivers and largely appreciating the randomness of the wide receivers. So it's absolutely been something that, you know, we've learned from. Did we make a mistake? Absolutely. Would I have rather gotten it right? For sure. But this is something that we learned from. And honestly, this is a way to keep sharpening our process. And I could consistently put together like a list of like four or five players and say, hey, like here's things that I've learned from in terms of mistakes that I made. Kenny Galladay being one, Rager being another, you know, and we could sort of look on and on, but you know, and some of the yards per route run stuff with the running backs, you know what I mean? Like there's been mistakes that have been, and fortunately I think we've done a good job on that side of the ledger, but Rager's one is a good example of one that I think it's a bet that I won't probably be making again. I'll probably never, you know, this might sound extreme, but I probably will never be the first person in a draft to take a wide receiver of a profile. I'll never be the first person to take a first round wide receiver. I'll always trade out of that, or I'll always go a different way just because there's so much uncertainty. And that's the big lesson that I've learned. All right. Looking over at San Francisco here, big watch this week will be Deebo Samuel's health. I do think there is some implication for him in the running game. You know, if you know, we saw like 27 carries out of Elijah Mitchell, there's definitely ways to go up for, or at least stay high for him if Deebo Samuel's out. That sort of consolidates some of that running back role away from their do-it-all wide receiver into the running back position. But I think the big, huge, in red lights, alarm bells going off, like, wow, look over here type signal. Brandon Ayuk, 113 routes here over the past 4 weeks, 2.58 yards per route run, 20, 21, 32, 23% target share over the past four. Smashing success here, really pointing in a positive direction. So after a really bad start to the season, really a solid uptick. This could still be a primacy recency issue, right? So with him, you know, it's a lot of times it's the first thing that you remember about a situation and the last thing you remember about a situation. We sort of don't catch a lot of the trends in the middle, a lot of things that happen in the middle. That was a big thing I always did, you know, when we did cases and stuff, like, yeah, you remember the first time something happened to you, the last time something happened to you, and then there was always the most significant time something happened to you. And you could sort of translate that into your everyday life. With Brandon Ayuk, it started slow. That's an anchor in the mind. It's picked up a little bit in terms of his stats, but I don't think, you know, we might have gotten to the point where it hasn't really fully registered yet, you know. And so that would be the thing that I would say. And as that's going on, there's so much other eye candy in that offense, right? Like you have Debo being what is otherwise a distraction, you know, not in any sort of bad way towards Debo, but he's performing at a wide receiver 2 overall type performance through 11 weeks. That's a little bit clouding out the fact that at the same time, Brandon Ayuk is seeing an uptick. And so when you look at Ayuk, like, all right, he was wide receiver 30 this week, right? He isn't coming off of a huge performance. This isn't a Jalen Waddle type performance. So I should think Ayuk represents a little bit of a, I think you can catch a middle on him pretty easily here. And as he sort of rises up in valuation, like he could absolutely be a second half riser. And we sort of see that transition to his cost in the offseason. He's one of the big ones that I would consider. You know, if your trade deadline's coming up, he's definitely one that I would consider as a hardcore addition here to your team. Okay, Antonio Brown here. He's a must watch in terms of potentially returning. So we'll see how the impact that makes on the offense. It's Godwin, it's Evans. There's not a ton of mystery there. They're both wide receiver, low end wide receiver 1, high end wide receiver 2. Plug and plays in your lineup. Cameron Bray, 10. This is pretty wild. 10%, 10%, 10% buy, 9%, 12%, 12% target shares. So pretty consistently there in that range again. So if you need to play him in a desperate situation, like that's sort of the level you're contending with. 17 and 29% target shares for Gronk over the past 2 weeks. Smashing success there. So hopefully he is in my tight end spot. And Scott Fishbowl, I'm hoping that Gronk's going to carry me to a championship. So we'll have to see. I'll report back on that. All right, and last but not least, Washington, and I think this one does warrant a little bit of consideration here. Logan Thomas, first week back, 17% target share, 26 routes, 1.19 yards per route run. That's like right in the Logan Thomas wheelhouse of success. 6 targets, 3 receptions, 31 yards. Fully back, and we sort of look at that. Hey, that's 9 safe flex points. Okay, like that's, you know, and then throw a touchdown in there every couple of games and bang, there you go. Like that's feeling pretty good. I do think he has more upside than that. There's not a ton of answers outside of McLaurin and the running back stuff. We'll see with McKissick out. I'm not exactly sure the nature of his injury. I didn't check up on it in preparation for the show. But if he's going to miss some time, like that's going to definitely open up some range for Logan Thomas to get back in. And yeah, he was clutching a couple spots here and, you know, could have even added a touchdown to it, got taken away on the goal line as a drop that didn't look like a drop. I don't know. It was interesting. Didn't look like a drop. I'm not really sure what happened with that one. But yeah, so we'll see there in terms of going forward with him. But I do think, you know, he's definitely on the tight end 1-2 fringe at this point in terms of your lineup considerations. If you're playing tight end premium, he's probably in your lineup on the flex consideration. I just wanted to see him back. And, you know, now that he's back, right, you feel pretty good. You want them to throw it a little bit more, but ultimately like, you feel pretty good about his role in that offense and the level which he's going to play. All right, well, that'll do it for snap reactions, wide receiver, tight end combined. NFC, I tried to go through this a little bit more abbreviated this week to get you sort of a little bit more streamlined stuff. So hope that you enjoyed it. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.